So you just do your the fair illumination.
Okay. So it's, you got that first.
Yeah, don't you have that?
Oh, that's, yeah.
Okay.
We got to figure it out.
Not a problem.
Good morning. Almighty God, in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Open our eyes that we may see the wonders of your word, and give us grace that we may clearly understand and freely choose the way of your wisdom. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
I'm going to give a bit of an introduction before we read 2 Thessalonians, because this is one of those passages that if we just jump into, we can kind of bristle at, we can kind of react to, because there's some challenging words in this. Paul is trying to encourage the people to see that they're being called to a different way of life. And when you're called to a different way of life, you have to give something up. When you're called to do better, you have to leave behind the things that are pulling you down. Paul means this in a very loving way. He wants the best for the Christian community. But hear that there is something in us that sometimes is challenging. And so we hear a challenging passage. Reading from 2 Thessalonians. Now we command you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from every brother or sister living irresponsibly and not according to the tradition that they receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. We were not irresponsible when we were with you, and we did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, so that we might not be any burden to you. This was not because we do not have the right, but in order to give you an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this command: anyone unwilling to work should not eat. For we hear that some of you are living irresponsibly, mere busybodies, not doing any work. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our responsive reading today comes from Isaiah 12. Let us pray the passage responsively, listening for a word or a phrase that especially speaks to us. In the moment of silence after the reading, we may hold the words we heard in our hearts and allow them to inspire our own prayer to God. Let us pray with God's word. Isaiah 12. You will say on that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, and you comforted me.
Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my might, and my salvation.
With joy, you will draw water from the well of salvation. And you will say on that day,
give thanks to the Lord, call on his name,
Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. The word of the Lord.
Sometimes the lectionary gives us a doozy, and when we already have one challenging passage in 2 Thessalonians, they decide to be nice and give us a challenging passage for the gospel as well. In this rehear of Jesus speaking of the destruction of the temple, but we also hear something else. We hear that there will come a time when people will talk as if it was the end. And Jesus says not to worry about such things. Do not go after those people, but rather to remain truthful to our faith. An important lesson in any age. Reading from the Gospel of Luke. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'The time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes in various places, famines and plagues, and there will be drought and portents and great signs from the heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons. And you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and siblings, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Can I have the children down front, young disciples, please? And if anybody does have any leftover boxes that they bring forward, please do so. Hey, sir. It's good to see you.
You too.
And it's good to see you too. At least in an upright position. When I last saw you were... No, just kidding. So, look behind me real quick. What do you see that's different today?
Boxes.
Candles. And rubber bands. So, do you guys know what's in the boxes?
No.
Do you know what's in the boxes, Nathaniel?
No idea.
No idea. No. So, in those boxes are gifts. And those boxes are going to go out to people around the world who might not have Christmas if it wasn't for someone giving them something.
Okay.
So it's a way of us sharing from the ways that we've been blessed for others to feel like they are blessed also. And I have a chance also to share a little bit of the word of Jesus to them. And that's kind of different for us to understand. that there are people who might not have Christmas if we don't do something. But it's very true.
Don't celebrate Christmas.
Well, that's something else entirely, and they also need our help.
And you also have people that don't already celebrate Christmas, so they could just be a part of a religion that doesn't celebrate Christmas.
But we're talking about a people that are actually just don't have anything.
Yes, but you should specify.
Yes, I know. I should specify. Because if I have an 11-year-old, I better specify.
Not the mama.
I'm confused, but that's okay. That's normal for me. So what we understand when we do things like this, and we also share with the spaghetti supper, and we share at the food pantry and everything else, is that as we are blessed, so too we can turn around and help other people. As we have, Jesus tells us to help others. Now, does this only have to happen at Christmas?
No.
We can do this all times a year. Christmas is kind of a special time, but we can do this all times of the year. So right now we're going to package these up, and we're going to join them together with a bunch of other churches that are doing the exact same thing, and we're going to send them all over the world so that everyone might hear about Jesus and have a blessed Christmas.
Okay.
Let's join together for a quick word of prayer.
Not the mama.
Not the mama too. You're right, I'm the daddy. Holy God, we share of our gifts to share blessings with others. May these boxes be received in grace and care in the way that they are meant. May the world hear of your love and your grace. And may these little ones hear of your love and your grace as well. Learn to grow in it, grow strong, and share of their gifts to others. Remind us that we are put here to help, to nurture, and to care. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Do you want one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not the mama.
We have a new catchphrase. So, Otis, a couple of weeks ago, made the comment, I always listen to the beginning of your sermon to see if you're going to say something about us. Which means, guess what? So, about 16 years ago now, there was a coming of a baby, and it was a sudden change in our life. It was a change in our household from 2 to 3. It was a change that shifted everything. In that instant, it changed our whole life in a dramatic way. And it was easy to see that this was a sudden change. There wasn't a baby, and now there's an Otis. And in a sense, it was. In a sense, it was a sudden change. And we tend to notice and remember sudden changes in our lives. Think about a time when you have felt most affected by a sudden change in your personal life. Maybe it was the birth of a child, like I'm speaking of. Maybe it was the change of a job situation. Maybe it was the change of losing somebody. Maybe it was a change in any other number of directions. Life seems to be full of change. But then when we stop and we think about it, even the most sudden of situations, does change come out of nowhere? A volcano eruption might appear sudden, but there's a pressure building up in the earth for long periods beforehand. moving into a new house appears sudden. But if you've ever done it, you know there's plenty of work that comes before the first box ever enters the house. And certainly with a baby, the birth of a baby appears sudden. But there are months and months of preparation and growing that have to happen before the baby is born. In our gospel reading, we hear that Jesus foretells the destruction of the temple in the coming days. And the disciples are caught up in the suddenness of it. They want to know when and how it's going to happen, not realizing that the events that Jesus was talking about were put into motion years and years ago. That it took a number of events to come to this point in human history. You see, they didn't understand at that point that the temple had become, while a symbol of God with people, it was also a way that God was kept at a safe distance. People stayed in the courtyard. There was a big curtain. And then God stayed in the Holy of Holies on the other side, far away. Which meant that the common people never were ushered into the presence of God. God was seen as somehow too perfect, too holy for the common people to have any contact with him. But this was not the reality that God wished. God wished to walk with God's creation. God wishes to talk with his creation, just as God did in the beginning at the Garden of Eden, when he made everything, including people, and declared it good. So, looking at this all, God set a plan in motion. A plan that would bring people back. A plan that would bring people into a close relationship with God. And like any good plan, this plan took time. There were prophecies spoken for centuries. The faithful listened to God and acted in their own individual ministries. And finally, in time, a young couple named Mary and Joseph followed their own direction so that a baby Jesus could be born. And from this came the Christ. And the Christ ended the separation of the people from God. God set this all in motion centuries before the disciples asked, when is this going to happen? But all they could see was the suddenness of Jesus saying, the temple's coming down. They didn't stop to appreciate that God had been working on their behalf for such a long time before their time. This is much of what happens even in our own lives. While we can experience change, as mentioned, change is a very common thing in our world. And change can seem sudden and surprising. But the reality is that things have been working behind the scenes, as it were, for quite a while, leading up to any change. There's a couple of qualities about this that I think are important for us to hear. First, if we just look at the change, if we just look at the eruptions and the catastrophic, the shift, the birth, the losses, we can feel tossed about on a stormy sea, going from this wave to the next, not sure what is happening. It can feel chaotic. It can feel scary. But when we stop in a moment of calmness and we understand that there is a God who cares for us and has been working throughout human history, we can start to appreciate that the sudden changes that we experience might not be so sudden. The Lord might have been working on our behalf for a long time, maybe even centuries before us, to bring us to this point. So hear that when you feel like your life is tossed about in a chaotic manner, that maybe that chaos is just looking at the surface. That when we look deeper into the reality of God being present in creation, we can see there's incredible order that is happening. I know in my own life, I never would have expected this. You might have heard me talk about a couple of times being an undergraduate. And if you ever want to have fun, ask somebody, did you actually do with your life what you went to undergrad for? Most of us would be like, no. I was trained to be a lawyer. That was my undergraduate education. I thought I was going to be a trial lawyer. God has a sense of humor. God worked on my world in such a way as to take me from the courtroom and put me into the congregation. At times, there was parts of it that felt very chaotic. There is times in my life that change happened that I wondered, why, God, are you doing this? But then as time goes on, and I have a calmness of heart and a calmness of mind, I can look back at all the changes I've been brought through and realize I've been made stronger for it. I've been brought to this point for a reason. I've been brought to this point to share as I share that this is not chaos. This is the hand of grace. So that is, I think, perhaps the first part, is to see that grace and the hand of God throughout our life changes. And then the second comes from that. That if we start to see the hand of God throughout our life changes, throughout bumps and shifts and things we're not expecting, if we see that there is someone else in command of these things, then I don't have to worry in the same way. If I but trust in the Lord that I will be taken care of, both here and in the hereafter, then I can weather what appears to be stormy in my life. And I can come through it understanding that I am never alone. I am always loved, always cared for, always brought home again. It was so easy for the disciples to hear something catastrophic coming, and that their life as they expected it was going to completely change. And in a sense, that's real and true. And in a sense, that happens in our life too. But that's also not denying that the Lord has always been with them and with us as well. That while we work through, live through, transition through all these changes, we also are never taken from the Lord's hand. As we look forward now to the season of Thanksgiving and Advent, the coming of the Christ, let us appreciate all the work that the Lord does to bring us to this point. And maybe, just maybe, ask God, what would you have me do to continue your work? May it be so. Amen.